Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Square ball to the far touchline. Moyamba poked ahead towards Saba. He'll accept it now in front of the right halfway line and bounce it ahead now to Brooks Lennon, who dribbles into the box right side. Cuts it back. Lennon with the man falling down to Almada. Shot! Off the crossbar and in! Boom, Yakubakis!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9.com. Still working on our guests, but listen, I didn't think I'd be able to hear that again this year. We thought we were done with the Boom Yakubakis.
But you know what? You hear that, it reminds you of the season that this team has had. And when he was a part of the team, you had this expectation. Mm-hmm. And then when he went away, Thiago Almada went away, you're like, well, what do we expect from this team? And it seemed to diminish to a point that we felt like, okay, this team was not going to be a playoff team, that would even be possible for them.
Yeah.
But in spite of all that, players, Caleb Wiley going away, the players that vanished, the coach dismissed, front office change, and yet here they are. They go out and they take out the team, the most decorated team during the regular season down in Miami, finished the job at their place.
Dickinson last year, college basketball two years ago. They just kept hanging around, and
you know what I mean. So I mean that's what's happening with this team. And Greg, I tell you, like I said, I went by training this week and watched them work, and they're as confident as they can be. I mean, when you've done what they've done, it's like, what else you going to throw at me?
Right.
This is the most resilient group. And they faced a little bit of everything this season.
And they ain't supposed to be there in the minds of those.
Right, so,
you know.
Some people will say they're playing with house money. Okay, once they're playing with house money,
that's fine.
They have to go on the road. They won't play at home anymore. You know, whatever they play, they will have to go on the road to do. But going on the road is something they seem not to mind. They've been able to actually thrive in it, you know.
Well, the part of the expectation of being at home is gone. And then you couple that with the fact that they're just playing loose anyway because they're not expected to be there, no expectations, in a different kind of way. So, yeah, listen, roll the ball out there and let's just see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think that's what a lot of people say.
If you cannot get in front of a TV and watch today's match, Atlanta United at Orlando, pre-kick is at 2:30, kick at 3:30. And by the way, while I'm at it here, we did NFL action for you. Tonight's game, Philadelphia at the Rams. It's the it'd be Philly and where's the Harbaugh Bowl? That's tomorrow. Is it tomorrow night? Yeah, Baltimore at the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
When I see the LA part, I was thinking, but he's Chargers.
Yeah.
But What do you think is going to happen with this match at Orlando today?
I think they go down there and they have to have some good things happen for them early. And that's something else that has happened in these other matches. Something that eluded them during most of the regular season, getting off to good starts. Go down there and see if they can go in and get a goal because Orlando is a difficult place to play. They've taken on the demeanor of the interim coach. And we keep asking, are they going to take the interim off? And they shouldn't answer that right now. But we're going to ask them because we're curious. What else did this man have to do, you know, to be named the coach? But it really has taken on a little bit of his mentality. And the team is representing that. Just whatever you throw at us, we're just ready. And I think that's what you get from this team when you talk with them. The younger players on the team are amazed to be where they are, you know, now. But now they're comfortable with it. And they know they have to go on the road. They're comfortable with that as well. Who are some guys that may step up? And, you know, we saw Bartosz Szlich come through with a big-time goal we want. But I think it goes to the experienced guys. And, of course, Brad Kazan. Was he even supposed to be here?
I was just going to say, the leadership coming from the goal position is something that's been talked about these last couple of games that even Jason has brought up. And that leadership for a road game with this kind of importance is key.
Absolutely. But we talk about a guy that when the season began, you know, they brought another goalkeeper in to contend with him. We said, you know, is he on his way out? And he's playing some of his best goal. It's like he's roamed. It's like he's been able to wind back the clock.
Well, that happens when somebody goes to take your parking spot.
I suppose, but to be able to sustain it the way that he has.
Well, let's ask him that as we welcome Jason Longshore on, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jason, good morning, first of all. Thank you for getting up. And Sam was just waxing poetically about Brad Kazan and the fact that this year started off with him as a maybe for being here for all year long. Was he getting too old and so on and so forth? But yet now he seems to be that glue as they find themselves in a spot that not many people saw them being at.
Yeah, he's playing at a level that, look, we haven't seen many goalkeepers in this league in a playoff run do what Brad Kazan is doing. And you're right. Go back to the beginning of the season. The conversation was, you know, position battle. You know, who's going to be the starting goalkeeper with Josh Cohen coming into the team? And Brad's been excellent all year long, but he's raised his game to another level here in the postseason, making plays. I don't want any of that to block out how important he is as well inside the locker room leading this group, because I think that's been another really important part of how this run has been, but even just how the second half of the season has been. New faces, guys coming and going, and I think Brad Kazan, along with some others, have been really important in helping to maybe get the messages that Rob Valentino and his staff have tried to put to the players. I think Brad has been really important in reinforcing that to the group.
I got to ask, this is something that we don't talk about a lot, and I can't remember the last time we did it with Jason. We talk about locker rooms all the time in the NFL. We talk about locker rooms in baseball. We talk about the locker room disruptions, but rarely have we talked about it with this Atlanta United team and, by extension, soccer locker rooms. And as Jason said that, I got to thinking about this. What is this locker room like? Who runs the locker room for Atlanta United? Is it Brad or is it others? And, by the way, I don't know if this is a stupid question or not. How many different languages are flying back and forth during that in that locker room? I'm curious. I don't know because you got players from around the world. So hump, I mean,
yeah, it's,
I'm curious
it's
about
interesting.
That.
Like, and different coaches do it different ways. And you know, I hear some situations where, you know, coaches want one language in the locker room and people have to speak that when they're around the group. I don't think that's the case here. I think everybody is good enough with English that's just kind of by default how they communicate. But there's groups of players who common languages that I'm sure create like subgroups in the locker room. But what's been good about this group is you have that. You have, you know, you always have in any group of people, you have certain combinations that click. You know, I think in this group, you have a lot of the young guys who've come up through the academy together that are close. You've got the group that I think it's come through on the field as well, with Bartosz Szlich, with Sava Lobjanidze, with Alexei Maranchuk. I watched Saba and Bartosz really reach out to Alexi and make him feel welcome when he first got here. So seeing those kinds of things, it's very cool when you have a locker room that has guys from all over the world to see that. But in terms of the leadership side of it, Brad Kazan being the captain since 2017, you know, his voice is obviously the most important and the loudest. Jay Fortune talked about it, and I think it kind of gave some good insight into it, where Brad, I think he manages the locker room really well in the sense that when it's time to keep it light and have fun, he's great at that. When it's time to buckle down and make things get serious, he's great at that too. And he's able to set the tone for the group really well.
Fantastic. Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline on this game day Sunday. We'll call it game day Sunday for Atlanta United.
Don't tease me.
Yeah, absolutely. With Jason Longshue. He is social. You can find him at Longshue, at Longshue. Jason, I talked with you before the last match, and you mentioned, I said, so who's someone to watch? And you said Bartosz Sliss. And I was like, okay, game. All right, give me somebody today. Who we watching today? We'll watch for to do something that they give Atlanta United an advantage, maybe get them on the board early.
Man, I don't know if I'm going to get that one as right as I did last time telling you that Sliss was the guy. But I'm going to go with Saba Lobjanidze in the way that I think this game can play out. Orlando defensively is weaker. I think they're a better attacking team than they are a defending team. And I think Saba is going to have the opportunities to get in behind their left side. I think that's where they're a little bit weaker on that side. And if Lobjanidze can get in behind, I think that starts to open a lot of things up. You know, Orlando typically plays four across the back. If you get around the left back, which Saba will be typically on the right side for Atlanta United, if you get past that left back, then that means one of your center backs has to slide over to try to deal with that. And that's the issue for Orlando, in my opinion, Janssen and Rodrigo Schlegel. They're not quick. They're not fast. And they don't cover ground well. You know, whether it's turning and running towards their own goal or having to slide further away. So Orlando's going to have to deal with Saba in some way that it's going to be difficult for them. You know, it's either going to be a winger dropping back to defend, or it's going to be a center back sliding over to help defend. That's going to create space for others. So I feel like if Saba is impactful today, it might not necessarily directly show up in terms of goals and assists, but I think it's going to show up in terms of creating space for others that Atlanta United can exploit.
As you talk X's and O's, my question is more broad. How do these teams match up? How does Atlanta United match up against this team? We always talk about that in other sports, and you know I always go to that to try to help me understand. So when you talk about a team like this Orlando matchup, how do they match up and man for man against each other when they get out there on the pitch?
It's funny. That's something I would actually really like to start doing. I remember being a kid, and I think we'd go through like the football matchup, it'd be who's got the better running backs, who's got the better wide receivers, who's got the better linebackers. And you almost like go through those matchups across the board. I think with Atlanta and Orlando, Atlanta defensively is a better team than Orlando. I think the midfield will be really interesting, and they'll be going up against one another quite a bit. I'm curious to see how Atlanta lines up, because we saw two different setups on decision day here in Orlando a few weeks ago and what Atlanta did to success against Miami. It was a five-man back line versus a four-man back line. I don't know which one they go with here, because the four-man back line worked pretty well against Orlando last time. Do you go back to that? Do you stick with five? That's going to affect how the midfield functions. I think the midfields are similar in terms of strength. I think Orlando's attack is probably a little bit better than Atlanta's, but what it comes down to is, can Atlanta's strength defensively with Brad Kazan, with Derek Williams, with Deion Gregerson, can that group nullify Orlando's strong attack? Facundo Torres is one of the best attackers in this league. Can Atlanta's defense win that battle? And then can Atlanta's attack exploit Orlando's weakness in terms of covering ground, covering space? A really even matchup. And when you look at the season series between these two teams, Atlanta won once early in Mercedes-Benz Stadium and then once late here in Orlando. So I think Atlanta's had the ability to defend Orlando's attack well and exploit their weak defending.
Spending time talking with Jason Longshore. About to wrap up with you before I let you go. Talk a little bit more about Rob Valentino. I talked with Derek Williams this week, and you know, I said how much credit goes to he and the staff of just holding things together and now getting this team to evolve and really represent him on the pitch.
Yeah, it was cool talking to Derek after game two against Miami. And he told us on the full-time report that this was a Rob Valentino team. Mm-hmm. Look, it takes time for that to happen. You know, I think there's always the expectation when there's a coaching change that everything just immediately changes about a personality of a group of people. That's impossible. I think when you look back at Atlanta United's calendar after Rob Valentino took over, it was really difficult when he first got the job because of the travel, because of the schedule, lack of training time. You weren't able to make the team yours. And he kind of pushed back when I said to him, like, you know, it feels like yours now. I think in terms of the personality, it is. And that really changed over the League's Cup break, where he had extended time to work with them. And you started to see it come together and come together. And in this playoff run, this feels like a Rob Valentino team. They're difficult to break down. They fight for one another. If a mistake happens, two guys go fix it. It's that kind of bonded togetherness that it just takes some time to build with the group. But now it feels like this group is fighting for Rob Valentino. You heard what Brad Guzan said on the station this week. He feels like Rob has done enough to get the job on a permanent basis. You know, that's a bold statement from somebody who doesn't have to make that statement. And I think that tells you a lot about how this team and these players and this group feel about their head coach right now.
As always, man, we can't thank you enough for getting up. You're on the road and joining us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We ain't going to ask you to do nothing.
We asked him to tell Mickey we said hello.
Oh, well, he ain't got time to go to Disney.
Okay.
Well, he's busy. He ain't nowhere near that Disney. We get back here, and listen, enjoy your holidays. We're going to be on it. We might have to reach out to you, Jason.
Absolutely, man.
We got 3 days. We got to do mornings this week, so you may be hearing from us again.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You guys have a great call, man.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
Appreciate it.
There you go. Jason Longshore joining us again.